Morning, church. Happy Sabbath to you. It is such a blessing to hear our children offering up prayers for things that are burdened for them. And Jesus himself said, suffer the children to come unto me that, and hinder them not. So it's good that our children feel comfortable in this congregation where they can actually speak to the Lord and they feel like they're a part of the church here. Praise God. I want to remind all of you in the congregation today, as you look at your bulletin, the last portion of the bulletin is that when church has come to an end, worship is over, the deacons will dismiss you by row. I know this is a new concept and something that we're doing here in the church, so I just want to remind you week after week that this is going to be the organizational portion of church, is that the deacons will dismiss when the service is over. So let's take our minds now to the scriptures that we're going to be looking at for today. And I would like to invite you to pray with me as we open God's Word. Heavenly Father, I know, Lord, that there is no way that we, humanly speaking, can understand your Word. And oftentimes, Lord, we're confused about your will for our life. So, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to come here and decipher the word for us, to give us wisdom as we study, give us understanding of what we read and hear. Pray for your blessing for us today. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading a book, and it's called Ministry of Healing. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that book, but on page 143, I've noticed this one little paragraph, and it goes like this. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs and won their confidence. And then he bade them, follow me. You know, Jesus came to fulfill the prophecies that were concerning him. If you look back in your scriptures at Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 through 3, we can see prophecies that were given about Jesus, and Jesus came here to fulfill these prophecies. Isaiah chapter 61, beginning in verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord is of God, the Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. As we look at Jesus' life and his ministry, we see in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was in the temple one Sabbath morning, and he was there listening to what was being done in the service, and then Jesus stood up, and he began to speak about this, this prophecy that was written. Look with me in Luke chapter 4, and in verse number 17, well, you can actually begin in verse 16 because that's where the actual beginning is of this particular thought. In Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, it says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, the first thing we have to recognize here is that on the Sabbath day does not mean Sunday, as many Catholics teach. And I'm talking about all Protestants that are teaching Sunday as a Sabbath, because they're teaching nothing more than Catholic doctrine. Do we understand that? Okay, so when people are speaking about the Sabbath in many churches today, they're not doing anything but pushing forward the Catholic doctrine. I'm not Catholic, so I don't keep Catholic day of worship. I keep the biblical day of worship, the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath that Jesus kept. And he's in the synagogue on this particular Sabbath day in a church where he grew up. And he's there. And in verse 17, it says, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which we just read about. And he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance of the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Jesus spent a lot of time. He came to heal the brokenhearted. That was a big part of his ministry. In fact, back in Matthew chapter 4, if you look back in that text that we first began with, in Luke chapter 4 at verse number 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." You know that Jesus spent more time healing people than he did preaching the gospel? He spent much time going from city to town, the village, healing people that were sick of all kinds of diseases that the devil had put upon them. And Jesus spent a lot of time dealing with the issues that people face on a day-by-day basis. If you look back in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, you'll see there that in Exodus chapter 15 at verse 26, that there God has promised a blessing to everybody who will serve him with truth and spirit. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 says, "And thou, if thou wilt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." You see, it is God that heals us, friends. We like to think it's Eli Lilly that does all of that, but really it's God that does the healing. Is that right or not?
Amen.
We like to think it's that doctor that went to school for 10 or 12 years, that he's the one that's got all the smarts and he's done the healing, but he would be really quick to tell you that he can't do any of the healing. It's really God that does all that. It's God that heals us. God's people should obey him, and as they obey him, he is going to heal them. And he healed people of many diseases. You look here in Matthew 4, verse 24, and it says, "His fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with different diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." You see, there was many people that had these maladies, these different diseases, these infirmities and these sicknesses. They had pain and torments. They had all kinds of issues that they were faced with, just like people of today. Many diseases that they had today, we have too. They've been passed down through the centuries. People were lunatic, crazy. They had palsy. They were paralytic. They couldn't hardly stand up. You know what? As I look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I see Jesus giving a commandment to his disciples what they were supposed to do at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1, at verse number 8, Jesus is telling his disciples there, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." And if you look back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 25, it says, "There followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." This is what Jesus had done in his ministry of healing people. He went everywhere. And guess what? He gave the disciples the command in Acts 1:8 to go into Judea, Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth. And they were going to be successful because he had already been there. He had already set the stage. He had already begun to minister. And so he called for them to follow up with that and bring a harvest with their ministry. And I can tell you, friends, that when Jesus sends you and me to go somewhere and to minister somebody, it's because he has already been there. He's already prepared the way. If you hear God calling you to minister to someone, have confidence in knowing that God does not send his people to go somewhere unless he has already been there himself first. He's already prepared the way with the Holy Spirit. And so you have nothing to fear. You have all the confidence in the world to know that God has already been there and spoken and dealt with the issues, and he's calling you to go there and minister for him because he's already set the place in order. And too many times we're afraid to speak. Too many times we're afraid to minister. Too many times we're afraid to witness because we're afraid people won't listen or won't hear. Well, that's not our problem. It's not our fault. There are many people that Jesus ministered to that didn't hear what he had to say either. They didn't want to listen to his witness. We're called to go. That's a command. It's not an invitation. God has called us to go. And he tells us that he has all the power in heaven and earth, and he gives it to his people to be witnesses for him. And he has not given us the option of saying, I don't think I want to go. I don't think I like the situation. He has commanded, go and make disciples. And that's what God has called our church to do. He's called all Christians to be witnesses for him. And many people struggle with different kinds of anxieties and bipolar and depression and schizophrenia and seasonal affective disorders. And you can go on with the list that goes on for who knows how long. I mean, it just goes on and on. The type of issues that people have. Some people have emotional issues because of trauma that they've experienced somewhere in their life. And because of that trauma, it has caused all kinds of emotional issues. And emotionally, they have been locked up in that issue wherever that was at. And we see sometimes adult people who are still thinking and acting like teenagers because some trauma happened to them, and it has locked them up emotionally in that situation. And they have grown as an adult physically, but emotionally, they have never progressed. Some people have physical and emotional issues due to their lifestyle choices. It's something that they have chosen, and it is causing the problem in their life. Some because of the guilt that they have in their life from the sins they participate in. I don't know if any of you have an issue here, but if you do, I believe this, that the babe that was born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, he is the healer of all diseases, and he can still heal you and me today. And I believe that in Psalm chapter 147, verse 3, he says, he healeth the broken in heart, and he binds up the wounded. Are you wounded today, friends? Have you been wounded in this world? Have you had your heart broken because of some event that has happened in your life? Has it caused you some struggle, some discouragement, some anxiety, some stress in your life? Jesus is able to heal you today. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Praise God for that. And God wants us to obey him. And when he gives us information, friends, he doesn't want us to rebel against that information. I found it interesting as I read this book. It's called Counsels on Diet and Foods. Have you ever heard of that book?
Amen.
The author, who is Ellen White, writes this on page 351. She says, I eat but two meals a day and still follow the light given me 35 years ago. I use no meat. And then she goes on to say, milk and eggs and butter should not be classed with flesh meat. In some cases, the use of eggs is beneficial. The time has not come to say that the use of milk and eggs should be wholly discarded. And I know you'll hear people sometimes say that we need to get rid of everything. Well, we can't live on just air and water. We have to have something else. And God has provided things for us to eat. Some things are good for us and some things are not. Because of all the pollution that's going on in the world today, because of all of the things that happens to our food that we have no knowledge of, and because of all of the lack of nutrients and minerals in the earth today that have been extracted out, a lot of our food does not give us the nutrients that we need. We have to make the best choice that we can possibly make and do the best we can possibly do with what God has given to us. God wants us to be obedient. I don't know how many of you know of Dr. Deal, or Dr. Neil Nedley, or Dr. Furman, or Dr. Oz. Maybe you've heard of him. You've maybe seen Dr. Furman on TV at times, or Dr. Oz, and the Spirit of Prophecy. They're all saying the same thing, that the diseases that we have, both physical and emotional, are directly related to our diet and our lifestyle and our mind. In fact, if you've looked at the Forks Over Knives, you've looked at that video, you see two doctors that are the kind of the people who are doing all of the narrating for the story there. And Dr. T. Colin Campbell, who's well known for the China study, and also Dr. Esselstyn say that only 1% of the diseases that you and I have that inflict upon us are only 1%. Genetically, 1% comes to us and affects our being. The other 99% come from eating animal flesh, from the lifestyle choices that we make. There has always been people resistant to change. Always. I've been guilty of it myself. And maybe you have too. And when things come to us, we oftentimes rebel against it. We don't want to change because this is where we're comfortable. This is what we know. But God wants us to obey when He gives us a message that will benefit us. God wants us to obey. And when we don't, we suffer for it. Just look at the amount of heartaches that people have because of death. Look at how many people die from smoking cigarettes or taking drugs or drinking alcohol. How many people have heart attacks, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, you name it. The list goes on and on and on. All these are self-imposed illnesses that come because of lifestyle choices that we have. Every one of them come because we refuse to listen to what God has told us. Dr. Neil Nedley was at our camp meeting about 5 years ago, and he helps people in depression recovery, and he has a whole program that he goes through. The first thing that he does when he was trying to help people to recover from depression is that he starts dealing with their diet and their lifestyle choices, and he helps them to start exercising so that they can change their lifestyle. That's the basis of some of the issues that they have. In fact, over in Ohio, the Ohio State University did a study, and they found that sugary foods and that refined carbohydrates and caffeine contribute to depression, anxiety, headaches, and so on. God has given us a remarkable body, friends, one that can heal itself if we will just work with what God has given us. And oftentimes, we don't do what God gives us the information for. Sometimes we know it, but we don't do it. There's times when we suffer for things that we didn't know about in our youth, and they catch up with us in our older age. There's a lot of things that I did when I was younger. I had no clue that it would affect me when I was older. But God gives us information to help correct some of the misconceptions that we've had, some of the errors that we've made. And we can reverse a lot of things in our life by changing the choices that we make. The lifestyle habits that we have need to be changed so that we can have the full blessing of God, that we can have this abundant life that God wants all of us to have. God has given us a body that has this ability to heal itself if we will just do what God is asking us to do. Our good health is a gift from God. And when we don't have it, oh mercy, we sure wish we did. Those of you that are nurses, and myself as a pastor, you see firsthand what it's like when people don't have good health. You know what it's like when people are sick and dying, and they're debilitated because of diseases, because of choices, lifestyle that they've made, and how they wish that things were different. Oh, that I would have done something different when I had the opportunity. Oh, that I would have done something different when I was younger. Well, Paul himself said that today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to do something about it. Today's the day to begin changing those things that would be beneficial and good for each one of us. But what are some of the things that we can do to maintain or to receive optimum health from God? We need emotional health. We need physical health. We need spiritual health. One thing, we can stop eating foods as the Council on Diets and Foods says, the abstinence from flesh foods. If you look in Diet and Foods, Council on Diets and Foods on page 488, it says the abstinence from flesh foods favors mental soundness. If you don't have that book, you could look it up on the internet, I'm sure. One of the things that we can do is to start changing choices that we make. When Linda and I began to become vegetarians a long time ago. In fact, it's been so many years I can't hardly remember it. But I do know this, that our family lived in Cincinnati, Ohio, in southwestern Ohio. We lived in southeastern Ohio, close to West Virginia. And we made that trip from our home back to Cincinnati to visit with our parents every weekend. 170 miles one way. We made it every weekend, back and forth. I could almost drive it with my eyes closed, back and forth. Linda prepared food that was like vegetarian food. I said it was like vegetarian food. My dogs wouldn't eat some of it, and I couldn't either. So she threw those out to the dog and changed some of the way she prepared things. and found things that was acceptable, that it tasted good, and it was healthy for us. And I remember quite well that when we became vegetarians, it was not something that we did overnight, because it was an experiment for us. We wanted better health. We wanted to live a lifestyle that God wanted for us. It took a while for us to do that, for us to change, to learn how to do that. I had a lot of Big Mac attacks traveling from Athens, Ohio to Cincinnati, Ohio. A lot of Big Mac attacks on the way there and on the way back. It took a while, because back then, there wasn't that very many restaurants that had vegetarian meals. And when we'd stop into McDonald's, instead of me ordering a Big Mac, I would say, I would like to have a veggie burger. They didn't have a clue what I was talking about. In fact, most of the time I would tell them, well, just put the lettuce and tomato and all that on there. Just leave the burger off. Everything would go dead there. They didn't know what to do. 5 minutes later, they come back and they give us a price that was twice as much as what if we'd had the burger on it. They didn't have a clue what to do. But now today, you have lots of choices in restaurants. They cater to a lot of people who have different dietary needs. And I think that we need to be making the best choices we can possibly make to be able to improve our health, and it also improves a sound mind. We also need plenty of sunshine. We're locked up into the house too much. We stay in the house, we don't get the sunshine, we don't get the vitamin D that our body needs. We need fresh air, friends. You ever think about going outside and getting some fresh air out there and then walking back to your house and see how stale and stuffy it is in there? We need to open up the doors and windows and let the air in. Let things clear out a little bit. We need some fresh water. I don't know about you, but Linda and I have had a distiller in our house, and we've distilled our water for so many years. I can't even tell you how many years it's been. I can't stand to drink city water. Have you ever poured water into a glass and just held it up into the and watched what's floating around in there? I can't stand the taste of city water. I remember years ago when Linda and I lived in southeastern Ohio, we used to get our water from a reservoir, and if you put the water in the bathtub and let it sit overnight, when you come back, it looked like red tide. I mean, the whatever was in the water turned the water red. So we would complain to the people at the reservoir, and they would tell us, oh, that's because there's so many boats here and oil getting in the water and all, you know, on and on and on. We have to make good choices, friends. And if we want good health, it's going to take an effort for us on our part to make the best choices that we possibly can make. We need to exercise. We could walk, we could run, we could ride a bike, we could swim. There's so many ways of doing exercise, getting some gardening experience in good weather. And sometimes in our mind, we think about things, and we think too much, and we think too much negative stuff in our life. And sometimes people were just discouraged and depressed and anxious, and they're stressed out. But you know, if you take like St. John's Wort, Greek valerian, ginkgo biloba, and they will help give us a positive mood in our life. Exercise gives us those endorphins that help lighten the load, friends. They give us excitement in our life. I'm talking about the encouragement of excitement. Exercise is beneficial physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We need to be positive. We need to talk positive. We need to stop the negative talk and thoughts in our life. And sometimes we talk about stuff to ourselves that is so negative, and it changes the focus of our life because of what we do. You know, in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when we start thinking all these negative thoughts, when we're doing all of this self-talk, and it's nothing but negativity, guess what happens? It makes us negative. And we need to start speaking about positive things. Listen to this. This comes from Ministry of Healing, and I already read you one text that comes from page 143, but on page 241, the author says this: the relation that exists between the mind and the body is very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. The condition of the mind affects the health to a far greater degree than many realize. Many of the diseases from which men suffer are the result of mental depression. Grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust, they all tend to break down the life forces and to invite decay and death. Disease is sometimes produced and is often greatly aggravated by the imagination. Many are lifelong invalids who might be well if they only thought so. Courage, hope, faith, sympathy, love, they promote health and prolong life. A contented mind, a cheerful spirit, is health to the body and strength to the soul. A merry or rejoicing heart doeth good like a medicine, is what the Psalm, what the Proverbs wrote in Proverbs 17:22. You need to get away from the negative self-thoughts and to start thinking about the good things that God has given to us, having the positive things in our life. And I think that God wants us to be positive. And one of the ways that sometimes people have spoken to me about is when they have discouragement and stress and anxiety, and what happens is that they become too self-focused. They're thinking more about themselves than someone else. It's all about them. It's all about what they think and feel, how things are going for them. But you know, if we would look outside of ourselves, we begin to help others. The pleasure of doing good induces mental health, and in helping others, guess what that does? It helps us. Maybe that's why I'm in ministry, to help others, because it helps me. Years ago, I remember visiting a lady who was a member of a church that I pastored in southwestern Indiana. This lady took medication that made her mouth kind of foam. It almost looked like she had rabies. And she didn't, it was just the medication. And so she always constantly had these boxes of tissues. She was on a hospital bed in her living room. And I remember one day, I was not feeling so happy. I was discouraged by all of the stress that was in my life with issues that I was facing in the ministry. And I remember, I thought, well, I'm gonna get up and get dressed and I'm gonna put my suit on, I'm gonna go visit. And the first person I visited that day was the lady who was on the medical bed in her living room. I knocked on the door. I could hear a little voice in the back say, come in. You just know you wanna open that door and rush right in, right? No, I knocked again. Louder this time, hoping I'd hear a louder voice. The same thing, come in. So I opened the door and I peeked, and there she's laying on the bed. So I went in and sat down beside her. She said, no, Pastor, come over here and sit on the bed right beside me. So I went over and I sat down beside her. And all the while she's talking to me, she's taking tissues and wiping her mouth. We had a nice visit. And when I got ready to leave, I prayed for her. And when I said amen, she grabbed my hands and she prayed for me. And she didn't pray for my dog. She didn't pray for my car. She didn't pray for my finances. She prayed for me and my family and for my ministry. And when I walked away from there, friends, I felt like I was floating on a cloud, because she had done something for me that day that lifted me up to heaven. And you see, that's where the benefit is at. And we often miss the key to happiness. It's not thinking about woe is me, how bad life is for me, talking about how bad things are in my life. If we would just look outside of ourselves and begin to minister to people around us who have things worse off than we do and lift them up to Jesus, friends, we would find much more joy, much more peace, much more happiness in our life. We need to focus on other people and what God has called us to do. He has empowered us, and He has already been where He is going to send you to do ministry for Him. He has already set the stage. And I believe that in all of these issues that I've talked about, the water, the sunshine, the fresh air, the exercise, all of these things, but last and most important is God. We need to be able to spend time in prayer and Bible study. We need to be able to have time, quiet time, friends, where we can meditate on who God is and the blessings that He has given to us. And as we do that, it will strengthen our mental ability to obey God, the health message that He has given to us, and He's given to us so that we will be healed and we can be a blessing to people around us. Jesus came to heal us and to give us life abundantly. And He wants to show us how to live a more abundant life, if only we will listen. We need to trust the babe in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, because he knows what is best for each one of us. As a closing thought, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And 2 Chronicles chapter 7 at verse number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, Christians, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. May that be our desire today as we follow after God's will. Amen.